to Are We Enlightened Yet? I'm Robin.
And I'm Sid.
And this is our very first podcast episode. So this intro is basically when we want to tell you about us.
Yeah.
And who we are. So that you're not like, who are these random people speaking at me? So let's get into it.
Yeah. Robin, do you want to do your little introduction?
So I'm Robin. I'm a Gemini, Sun, Libra, Moon, Cancer rising. And I have so much Cancer in my chart, I might as well be a Cancer, but I'm also very Gemini-y. I'm a rebel archetype, which once you know me is not shocking at all. And I am an INFJ, which means on the Google, it says I am delaying.
Right. Introverted.
Introverted, intuitive. Feeling, that's true, and judging. And that means I'm also the advocate. You can tell I've never really done much with Myers-Briggs. I do all the other personality things. But they're all very accurate. I'm very feeling. I'm very intuitive. And I'm a pretty big introvert. And I focus pretty... I would say that my passions always are linked to empowering other people. And I get really ragey when people are disempowered or are being hurt in any way. So I would say that's kind of me in a very stuttering nutshell.
What are you doing right now? What's going on in your life? A quick, brief overview. Oh,
that's so hard. I feel...
Or favorite books even.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like life's ebbing and flowing in 2021. I'm still trying to figure out... things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I coach people, sometimes I post things on Instagram about where my life's at. But books right now, my top three books for you. Daring Greatly changed my life. Everyone should read it. I read it when I was 22. I've read it three times since. I'm actually going to read it again here.
By Brené Brown.
Mm-hmm. Because it is probably the best book ever to understand shame. And I think that's where my obsession with humanness really started. So 8 years ago was Daring Greatly. Reading is probably one of my absolute biggest passions. So it's quite hard for me to pick three books because I read a lot. So my other two just like current recent favorites is A Radical Awakening. It's probably the most highlighted book I have. There were so many good points in it that just... blew me away. You came over one day and I was like, let me read you all these things I highlighted in my book like a weirdo.
I loved it.
And then this other book I just finished, which absolutely blew my mind because it also supported my beliefs about depression and anxiety, is called Lost Connections. And it focuses on what is actually the leading cause of anxiety and depression. And it's really not a chemical imbalance in your brain at all. They barely know what a chemically balanced brain is. And it really just blew my mind because it supported my feelings of the fact that like usually like depression, anxiety is just a lack of meaning in life and an inability to cope, which is a pretty unpopular opinion right now. But hopefully as we, you know, start, you and I even start to have these conversations, we can start kind of diving deeper into just as the world what anxiety depression actually is, because I have a hard time believing that the increases we've seen even prior to 2020, because of course they increased in 2020 and 2021, there's no way we should have the increase we have had in depression and anxiety. Something is wrong with our world. So yeah, that's what that book's about. See, I can get on tangents about books. Don't ask me about myself. Ask me what I like to do. What about you, Sid? Let's hear it. Once you know what her signs are, you're going to be like, that's why hers is so much smoother than Robin's.
Yeah, so I kind of like briefly wrote an outline before this because, yeah, hi, I'm Sydney. I'm like a Capricorn sun and rising with a Scorpio moon. So basically... don't mess with me. That Scorpio really can like bite you when it wants to. But yeah, no, for the most part, like I do my thing. I'm super chill. I'm down to earth. I'm easy to get along with. And mostly because I'm a people pleaser. But yeah, no, my Capricorn is just like, I think I have like 5 planets in Capricorn, so I'm just,
oh yeah,
I may be the most Capricorn person you've ever met. My archetype is the Magician. So that's kind of where my natural tendency towards like spirituality, alchemy, manifestation, and like embodying that inner sage kind of comes out. And my Myers-Briggs is ISTJ, so that's the logistician. So that is the introverted, what is the S? Observant, thinking, and judging. So this is kind of like where the parts of my personality fuse with my Capricorn aspects, because this is like where it's all super rational, pragmatic, analytical, just highly self-sufficient. I love making to-do lists and like scheduling. I'm a slut for organization.
It's funny because we're actually similar in so many ways, but mm-hmm. also when you break it down into like our astrology and also like archetypes and stuff like that, we're polar opposites.
Yeah, because like whereas like my Magician, I love like meditating and like deep diving into like the spirituality and aspects. Like,
let's go to war. Like,
exactly.
Fuck that shit. Let's go.
So that's kind of like who I am. But yeah, currently I'm a graduate student for counseling psychology. I've been fascinated with like all things psychology and holistic health, mental wellness, spirituality, since probably 2014. Like, it's been a while. I'm also an avid reader. My top three would be probably The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. Have you ever read that?
Okay, here's the thing. It's on my bookshelf. I found it fucking boring.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't finish it. And then everyone
you never
is like,
finished it?
No. But then I went, we had that girls weekend and I was talking to Amanda about it and she's like, well, do you read it as metaphors? And I was like, no, I read it like a story. And she's like, no, you gotta look at it as metaphors.
Yeah.
So I have to go back and read it. Oh. But I was like, what is this trash that everyone keeps talking about?
Oh my god. It's
who paid
so,
you?
It's so deep and profound when you read it as like a deep and profound piece. Like,
oh,
if
yeah,
you read
no,
it
I read
just
it
for
as
like
a story.
Oh. Oh my god. Okay. Once you read it, like, okay, when you actually read it,
okay,
you'll get so much out of it. Like, I'm actually currently rereading it right now. I'm getting in the habit of like reading this like once a year because there's so much like little good like little tidbits in it. It's just,
okay, I'll read it, reread
yeah.
it.
Anyways, so good. Probably one of my favorite books. I love the Harry Potter series because I love the movies, but like the series, oh my god, if you've read the books, you just know, like, they just provide a whole different depth to the movies, and you gain this greater appreciation for all the characters, and you get to know them on, like, a more personal level, their thought processes, and what they're feeling, you just, oh my god, so good.
And here I've only watched the movies, and yeah. I'm like, I love Harry Potter and the movies.
Yeah.
I can't ruin them with the books.
Oh, no, the books make them better. And I also really love Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. Mm. Really good book. It kind of just gets into the science of how we're not genetically, like, how we're not a result of just our genetics.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how we really are engaging with the environment and how the environment shapes us and how we form our beliefs based on our experiences and interaction with the environment, and it kind of just talks about like the science of that.
That would be interesting.
So I really love that book. I also enjoy yoga, meditating, journaling. I've recently been diving deeper into these practices these past 2 years, thanks COVID. That's basically me in a nutshell.
I feel like I need to do a better job introducing myself. I should have let you go first. Let you do the outline. I was like, oh, okay, I'll tell you about myself.
We can redo it.
No, we can keep going.
Okay.
I'll just do it now. So my background is, I feel like I'm a jack of all trades and master of none. But the whole saying is jack of all trades, master of one is better than a master of one. Something like that. If this is not my personality in one half axe is me. So I'm a holistic nutritionist, which, I mean, technically in Alberta, I'm not allowed to say, but my actual designation is a registered holistic nutritionist, but you can't use the word registered in Alberta, so I'm a certified holistic nutrition consultant. I'm a personal trainer, I'm certified in neuro-linguistics programming. I have spent probably the last 6 or 7 years really focused on working with young girls. I've run a couple programs, done some talks that really focuses around our self-worth and how naturally as women and females, really, we're just raised to truly feel so unworthy of love that we spend all of our time hustling for it. And it's just ingrained in us, and it's heartbreaking to watch. And yeah, so that's where I spend a lot of my energy, is really supporting and trying to empower women, females, to like really believe in themselves and like stop thinking that you have, especially like in relationships, stop thinking that you have to hustle for your worth and prove yourself, and that like I'm not enough, but I'm too much, and that doesn't even make sense. Like, what does too much mean? And like, what does not enough mean? And then we're like, I just want to be good enough. What does good enough mean? What kind of goal is good enough? I just want to be like, ugh, good enough. That doesn't really make sense. Anyways, so that's kind of where I spend a lot of my time. I think we mentioned in the episode how we're both into super into psychology, always have been. If we didn't, now you know. But that is my slightly better introduction of who I am. I'm definitely not as I love organization when it comes to like my day job. I'm definitely a bit of a clusterfuck on the outside, just with how my brain works. It just works so fast that my mouth can't keep up to it. And it just, it just works fast. I talk fast. I lose my train of thought really quickly. I will start stuttering on words, not because I have a stutter, but because my brain literally can't connect to my mouth fast enough.
See, I'm like, I need everything like down to a T and scheduled. Like my computer, I have my whole week ahead of me scheduled almost to the hour. And so that's how my mind works. Cause it's like, without that like clear direction, I get so scatterbrained and like anxious. And so without my schedules and to-do lists, I feel like lost and like I'm like falling and
free-falling. I have like to-do lists, and I'm very scheduled and routine. I cannot be out of routine for like more than a day. But I think when it comes to thoughts, like I journal, I do all of those things, but I think for me, my thoughts just come best to me when I just let them come to me.
Yeah, see, like, I wrote down a whole outline for my intro and, like, for our, like, probably for the most of our future podcasts, I'm going to be doing outlines. Because without that outline, I will get so sidetracked or get on a tangent or completely lose everything in my brain and forget how to speak.
Right, and see, but now we see how much better your intro was than mine. Because I'm like, squirrel. Oh, am I supposed to talk about something and know what I'm talking about? Oh, shit. Okay. I'll do my best. But I don't know.
But yeah. Anyways, we're excited to be on this journey. So thank you for being here with us and listening to us talk about the things that we love and hate. And
it's kind of like a quest to be human.
Yeah.
Normalize being human, because we've somehow found a way to make that weird.
And like demystifying spirituality and bringing it back down to earth, and
like debunking like the bullshit wellness world, because we're told so many garbage claims that really just like actually keep you far more stuck, so they can keep taking more of your money than you need to be. They keep you stuck as opposed to empower you. It's really wild.
True empowerment is like knowing you're human and acknowledging your humanness and knowing that that's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Which I think we get into in this episode. I'm not going to lie. We recorded it last week, so I don't remember what's in it.
So yeah, enjoy this episode. And yeah, we're looking forward to more of these with you guys. Enjoy. Is this it? Are we enlightened?
Is this the moment? Based on how uncomfortable we are, I'm going to say this ain't it. It's a question I wake up every day and ask. Are we enlightened yet? This it? Because this doesn't seem like it's it.
So why the name? Let's talk about why we decided to name the podcast.
Well, for me, it goes back to quite a few years ago. I had a friend at the gym. Hey, Matt. if you ever listen to this, we used to chat all the time and just always joke about how when you like go do things where you're expecting it to be really just like amazing because people post these like really spiritual captions on Instagram and you're like, oh my god, I'm gonna go do that and it's just gonna change my life. And then you get there and you stand in front of the ocean and you're just like, oh, is something supposed to happen? And then you're just like, when do I get to be enlightened? And so we always joked about that question, like, are we enlightened yet? And I always wanted to start a podcast doing it because it's just, it's like this never-ending chase.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you wait, you're excited for this peak moment that almost never comes.
Everyone's trying to, everyone's grasping for that peak moment, but it's like it never comes. And like we're on this constant pursuit of, okay, I'm going to be enlightened. I'm going to work on my spirituality. I'm going to be this fucking guru. And then you're it's never ending. The chase is never ending and you never get there. With social media, especially today, it's like there's this idea that it's that enlightened state is attainable and that you can get there with enough meditation, or if you get to that moment in front of the ocean that you'll experience that, but it's like you never get there.
Right. And like as somebody who, what I would say is like quote unquote spiritual in comparison to me, because you're like, you're a yogi and you meditate. What does it mean for you? Because I feel like for you to say that like we never get enlightenment is like this, like it's like the carrot dangling in front of you. You never get to it. So I want to know what it means for you, because to me I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Okay. So well, I mean, I've started like my spiritual journey back in 2015 when I started yoga, and I was like always, I was always that bitch with like the oracle cards, giving my giving my friends like their readings, and I was like, oh man, like this is like the pinnacle of being a spiritual person. I'm giving my like myself and my friends like these
higher guides or these telling tarot me readings. What to do.
I'm channeling and I'm in that. No, I'm just picking random cards and reading them out, and then they're
and
taking
reading
their
the
own,
description.
Literally reading straight from the book, and I'm like, yeah, this is it. But this no, resonates. Like it was like years of that, and essentially, I don't know, I started getting deeper into like my meditation practice and actually sitting down with my thoughts and actually just taking that time to be in stillness and silence. And so I was like, oh, there's something to this. Like I'm feeling some sort of peace of mind. Like I'm feeling something. I don't know what to label it, but I was feeling good, you know, just calm. And after a while of doing that, I remember I did like, I set these random goals for myself where I'll do things for like 30 days. Like I'll do like a challenge. And so I did this like 30 minutes a day for 30 days of meditating in my room. No sounds, no like guidance, just sitting in silence. And so I did that and it was like 30 days have gone by and I stuck to it. And then at the last day, it was like 30 minutes and I was like getting deep into it, almost like in that trance state. And I remember like sitting there just meditating. And then all of a sudden, like, my timer went off, and I was like, is this it? Like, I spent all this time, these past 30 days, dedicated, just sitting in silence, trying to get to that, like, peak moment, that, like, okay, that's that pinnacle spiritual moment of enlightenment.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I got there. And
it was
like,
nothing.
It was nothing. It was just crickets. And I was like, I don't feel any different. Like, yeah, I feel a little bit calmer. But like that was it.
It's so funny because like I'll be like the first one to say I despise meditating. I'll do it for maybe 8 minutes max and I just like I don't enjoy it. So it's funny that like that's how you chase enlightenment, or one of those things that like where you're like that's how I'm gonna get enlightened. And what also makes us such opposite people is like how we've gotten to this moment, because I sure will tell you that it was not meditating for me. I'm like, I will not get enlightened by meditating. I'd rather freaking jump off a cliff, truly. I don't know why I have such resistance to meditating, and everyone's probably gonna be like, that's probably where your enlightenment is, Robin. It's not, shut up. Like, it's not it. Yeah. But like, it's so different for everybody, but it's just a constant, I think it's a rat race, right? It's a hustle. We're now hustling for our spirituality. We're all hustling for our wellness. We're
for perfection, all this
stuff. Just to be this like perfect fixed human who isn't, has nothing wrong with them. And I think, you know, we've talked about it a lot of times where it's like, that's actually not it. I feel like I became more enlightened, quote unquote, while still not being enlightened at all when I realized that, like, this experience we signed up for is just to be human. Mm. It's not to, like, live in the 5D or that altered consciousness. And it's not. It's to be here and it's to experience the humanness of us, right? Like, we are not going to meditate our pain away. You know, it might help, like, but we're always going to have these life experiences. And I think this industry, whether it's the wellness, spirituality, fitness, whatever it is that's big right now, they try to sell you all these ways to, like, take your humanness away from you. But, like, the experience is to be human. And I think the faster we figure out how to allow that space and just, like, experience our lives, maybe that gets us closer to enlightenment. But
because, like, yeah, I mean, even in my experience, like, all of these, like, spiritual practices, they were some form of, like, escapism for me. Like, when I was into, like, my psychedelic drug journey or just deep into, like, my meditation journey, I wasn't actually allowing myself to be human. Like, these were practices I used to try to attain that higher level, to try to just escape life, essentially. And one of, like, my big, like, aha moments I had was, like, life is the biggest trip. Like, no amount of drugs you can take, no amount of time spent in meditation, or no amount of time spent working out in a gym, like, that's, sure, that you can use that to supplement your life, but if you're using it to, like, escape your life and try to make your life better by avoiding the real stuff of just being human, you're missing the point of life. Like, we're already spiritual beings. Like, we're spirits, but we're in this human experience. We're in this 3D reality. We shouldn't be trying to evolve and go up to 5D and 6D without even, like, having that, like, 3D human experience.
Yeah, and I think it's important for us to remember, too, and, like, this, you know, I'd like to, this isn't what this whole podcast is going to be, is just straight spirituality, but, like, I think it's important to remember, too, that, like, we signed up for this experience, right? Like, this, it wasn't to escape this experience, it was to be here. There's a purpose to you being on the earth right now. Like, times are fucking wild right now. You signed up for these times on earth. It wasn't to come to earth to escape these times, right? By sitting there and just being all only love and light and, like, this, like, meditating and ignoring everything that happened. Like, you know, there's so much going on right now with light workers, and that's amazing, but, like, and I identify with the term light worker or whatever, but we're also, like, light warriors. Like, we're here for a purpose right now, and there's just so much escapism happening. And, like, for me, the escapism is actually, like, this, like, constant need to fix myself in every way. It's, like, always a book. There's always something for me to work on therapy. And my therapist asks me all the time, like, what if you stopped working on yourself? And I'm just like, I don't know what you mean, Lauren. What does that mean, stop working on myself? And she's like, well, what if you took all the knowledge that you learned about trauma and the brain and, like, self-worth and all of those things? And she's like, you actually used it to do something other than try to find pieces of you think are unlovable and broken. She's like, because you're just chasing, you're constantly trying to find something wrong with you to heal it, to get to this big moment of, like, I'm whole now. When you're like, when you stop doing that, you realize how whole you really are as you are, right? Like, if I were to stop doing all of the work today, I would still love who I am today. So why do I, like, it's this, like, constant, that's how it shows up for me, is this, like, constant need to fix, whether that's, like, in fitness or nutrition, psychology, trauma, trying to heal every freaking wound we pick.
On that hamster
wheel. We pick out wounds that don't even hurt.
And
we try to make them hurt. Just for the sake of
working on something.
Yeah, and you're just like, what if I just, like, experienced life and just, like, tried to be? And in my head, I'm like, what does that mean?
Right? I remember for, like, the longest time, like, my goal in life was to move to the Himalayan mountains and be, like, one, like, I wanted to just live among the monks and meditate all day. And that was, like, my dream. But that I realize now, like, that's just escapism in yes. its most like potent form, because I didn't want to like deal with everyday life. I just wanted to spend my time meditating and journaling and working on my shit. But it's like that I realize like we do that work so that we can be like a human and like the best of our capacity and reduce the amount of suffering in the world and essentially came here to do what we came here to do.
And you have to integrate it, right? Like you can do all the work, but if you're not actually going and putting that work to use
or sharing
you're not integrating anything, right? And so then it really does feel like you're not getting anywhere because nothing is changing, because you're just constantly doing the work internally and not really sharing it.
It's got nowhere
like,
to go.
There's so much power in sharing our emotions, our humanness. And there again, like, it just allows that integration piece. It allows you to step into your power. It allows you to own who you are. And to one of the most healing things in the world for human beings is to be seen and witnessed. To have someone look at you and be like, I see you. It's so empowering. But if we're not actually willing to share that with anybody, and we are doing all this work to get rid of the masks, but then as soon as we walk out that front door, depending on who we're with, the mask's back on, why, like, the work doesn't count anymore. Why are you doing it then? It's asking those questions, because I find that I know so many people that they're in the work, but the mask goes on immediately. And again, like, that's natural. That's so common. But it doesn't integrate then, right? And you can't be seen, so it's like the work doesn't count then. And then you can't get off the hamster wheel because you're hiding. And it's that, like, I think it's the hiding piece of us. I think there's so many, I think especially, and I could be totally out to lunch, I think that's almost where our obsession with the moon comes from, is because there's times of the month where it's completely hidden. It's in the dark, right? It's recluse. It's like, it's, it goes away, like, we seem to have such an obsession, and I feel like it, I wonder if it's subconsciously we're just, because we're always half hidden too, right? Like, I don't know anybody that's like, it's a rare day where you see somebody in full ownership of who they are.
Yeah.
And when you do, you're just like, how are you doing that?
It kind of like stops you in your tracks. Yeah. Like, that's like one of those like pinnacle moments of like, oh, you're really in your human right now, and like, you're in it. And
how are you doing that?
What got you started on this whole journey of like sharing your journey? Like, what inspired you to actually go on the journey and share it with others?
So it's interesting for me because, like, I feel like this journey, I've loved spirituality, the woo-woo side of it, since I was really young. I've been really into it. I've struggled like pretty heavily with like mental health stuff. So my journey is really kind of like laced with things, but I think the moment I realized that like sharing is really, really empowering. That's really gonna be hard when you can't edit my stuttering out. That's fun. So it was really empowering because I went to nutrition school because I thought like, oh, what an amazing way to find the secret to losing weight. And if I lose weight, I'll be happy and I'll be capable of being loved. If I'm skinny, that's the answer to life. And of course, now we know that there is no secret to that. There's no magic pill. It doesn't work. And I realized in that kind of process that some big things happened that is for another episode. But I realized that like we have such a fucked up relationship with food as women, and it just like dictates our life. And and I always loved the quote, and I would have been maybe 23 or 24 by the time this came, where it was like, be the person you needed to be when you were younger. So one day I just kind of started writing, and I wrote a blog post that actually it sucks because I had to take it off my original site because I didn't want to pay anymore. Within like 3 days, it had like 600 views, which I know, but in like now people are like, that's nothing. But like,
damn,
that was like
7 years ago. That's impactful.
And it was like this really inspiring moment where people are like, oh my God, I do that too. And it was this moment where I was like, oh wow, I'm not alone. And so I was blogging more regularly then, really just to get my thoughts out to the world so I could see that I wasn't alone. So the shame would kind of leave a little bit, like baby steps. And then I started working with young girls and seeing like that, oh my God, it starts so young. And so But it was really in the sharing of those moments that, like, I began to really heal and understand that, like, my life was feeling so hard to live because I was so bound by shame and I didn't want to admit it. Or not that I didn't want to admit it. I didn't know how to be seen. And then really from there on out, it's just been multiple different ways of healing many things in my life, which again is a different episode, to just slowly pick away at the shame, because like the more I share my truth and how I feel, and even if just one person says, like, me too, or even if nobody says it, it's just out there to be witnessed. And then it's like, I'm not pretending anymore. You know, like, if I can share it and put it out there, then I don't have to pretend it's not real because I told the whole world.
And it's not holding so much power over you. Yeah. Like festering in the dark almost.
Yeah. So that's for me where, like, my journey kind of started and why I'm really passionate about us just being like honest and truthful about how we're feeling, like that you have to feel your shit and you have to share it, to be honest. Like, humans need connection and we're so isolated now, even more so with the time, that is not how we are wired. And I can experience that, or I've experienced that in those moments of connection and those moments of sharing and witnessing people and having people, even though it's usually on social media, witness me and see that. I think because for me, I get a lot that, you know, that people think I'm really powerful, and I am not in a place just yet where I necessarily see that in myself. So I think, for me, that sharing is this moment of, like, look how human I am. Look how hard this is. And not in a pity way, but, like, please take me off your pedestal. I don't want to be on it.
Yeah.
Take me down.
Yeah.
You know, it's this way for me to, like, for me to feel like the playing field is even. Or even also, like, to bring me up on your playing field. It's this weird way, subconsciously for me, I think, to, like, level out the playing field, if that makes sense in my brain.
Yeah.
That there's no pressure, because I'm a mess.
Because I think we put so much pressure on ourselves already, so, like, by, like, exposing ourselves in a way, that pressure alleviates itself, and it's like, oh, okay, I can exhale, I can be human, and I can, like, it feels safe to be seen as just human.
It's exposing yourself. It's especially, and I don't know if you feel the same, I used to be such a perfectionist. I used to be so attached to perfection.
Still am.
Yeah, that, like, exposing myself was like a permission slip to stop trying to be perfect, right? It was like, okay, I'm going to show up in life this way, and I'm going to let you view me this way, but then I'm going to sneak around back and then tell you how hard that was for me. Right? Like, it's this weird ebb and flow for me. But it's been really freeing to share and teach, right? In that capacity. One of my, I've realized for myself, I'm rambling. So.
Nope, that's fine. Keep going.
I am here to teach what I personally most need to learn. And I will teach and learn at the same time. That is where I am most in my power, is when I'm right beside you. Like, I will be a leader who leads my team in the same line. I will never be in the front. I want to be beside you. I want to hold hands. We can walk home together. Like, I'm not here to be, or just, like, I'm not here to be on a pedestal. I want you to see that I'm human and I'm in it with you. I'm in the trenches with you.
You're not the enlightened way shower. You're just a human doing the thing with them.
I'm just trying to figure it out. Because, like, I have come to the realization that nobody has their shit together at any point in life. And if they are, they're lying. I don't believe them. Like, yeah, that was my ramble. What about you? What brought you to this kind of journey of life?
Yeah. Okay. So, I guess it all started with manifestation and, like, The Secret. I've always kind of had, like, a fascination of just magic growing up, and then I think I was maybe 12 or 13 and my mom gave me, like, The Secret, the book, and I read it, like, in one day, and I was just, like, so fascinated, like, holy crap, like, you think I, like, you're telling me that I can manifest anything I want in life, and I can be, like, this superhuman, basically, and I can be the epitome of the perfect human. Like, that was, like, my, like, that was what drew me in. And so I just, for years and years, I was just obsessed with think positive, think about, like, embody your dreams, like, you know, all of that, like, visualize all your goals and all of these things coming to fruition, and imagine your perfect life. Like, I was just in that space for so long. And so after not manifesting anything, I didn't manifest shit through all those years, but I was like a dedicated manifester who didn't
Who
manifest
didn't manifest
anything.
anything
But I was like,
cool.
oh, like, there's so much potential. Like, I can manifest this and this and that. And I was just meditating daily and journaling, and like, my journaling back at that time, it was literally like, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that. It was never me just sitting down and being real with myself. So after years and years of just being in that space, I finally got to a point, eventually, like in university, after like a lot of drugs and a lot of just like widening my perspective, I was like, holy shit, like, I'm spending so much of my time and energy on a life that's never gonna come here. Like, I'm literally living in the future. I'm not living in the present. I'm not allowing myself to be human, because at that time I was like, if I think wrong things, I'm gonna manifest those bad things. And so I was like literally in a state of fear and like never allowing myself to be human. And so eventually I put myself on this pedestal because I wanted to just be, I wanted to embody that perfect human. And so I was, all of my energy was just, okay, I gotta, I can't say how I really feel. I have to say how I want to feel. And so I was in that space for so long. And then I realized just how damaging it was, because I was feeling so much shame when I did have a human moment, or when I did allow myself to feel like sadness or anger. It felt so good, but then there was like that underlying shame of like, I shouldn't feel this way. This is gonna manifest bad shit for me. Cause I was like in that mindset. And so I don't know, like, it just eventually it clicked when I was like, it's fine to be human. And I could feel the pressure I was putting on myself to be like so perfect. And because I worked so hard on presenting myself in that perfect way, I could feel that pressure from other people being projected onto me, because I was like, I can't let other people down because they see me as perfect. I see myself as perfect. I can't be anything less than perfect. And so that pressure finally got to me. And I could, like, even just like how my social media presence was always like so superficial. Like, it was, I would like edit my pictures to make myself look skinnier, taller, like all of these things. I would edit out all my blemishes. And I was just portraying this like image for so long. And then yeah, eventually, like one day it just clicked. This was like my second year of university, and I made a post, and it was like my first like real vulnerable post on Instagram. And it was like basically I was like, hey, I'm exposing myself. I've been lying to you guys this whole time. I'm not that perfect. I hate my body. I listed all of these things that I've been so scared to let out in the open. And oh my God, as soon as I like pressed like post and it was out there in the world, it was the most freeing moment I've ever had in my life. And that was the most engagement I've ever had. And that was the most like I've never had so many people in my DMs like, thank you for sharing. Thank you for like being a human being. Thank you for being real and raw and vulnerable. And then like that just like clicked, like that shifted something for me, because it was like, oh my God, like I've never experienced this much real connection before, because I've never allowed myself to actually be seen. And so that's what like snowballed this whole like, then I almost like got addicted of just like being vulnerable and like letting my like true self be seen. And that just like started this whole process of like almost like just like removing myself from that whole like rhetoric of think positive, that just toxic positivity, that whole narrative, and just allowing myself to just be human and be okay with being shitty sometimes or feeling like terrible and sharing that. And there's so much power in that, and I recognize that eventually. And that's just kind of what's brought me here, and that's what's ignited this passion for just merging spirituality into like humanness and bringing it down to earth and allowing myself to just really be in this like 3D space.
I find it so interesting that both of our really experiences were when we finally dropped the idea that we were fucking perfect and we're just like, oh, just take me as I am. I am messy and I am human. And maybe enlightenment is the mess. Maybe that's what it is, right? Is that fuck, being a human is messy. And it is exhausting trying to pretend you are anything other than a mess. And like, I don't use the term messy negatively here. But it's just like, emotions are messy. Sometimes they're really intense and you don't know what you're feeling. And sometimes you're just... you can't figure out why you're having a bad day. And you made a really good point of like, it's hard when you're trying to always tell yourself how you should feel, where it's like, I want to be happy, but I'm actually just really fucking angry right now. And now I feel guilty that I'm angry because I should be happy. And now I'm just going to get more angry. And it's like, but if you sit with your emotions, it's actually amazing how quickly they pass when you actually just feel them. But I do find it, so cool and interesting that like really both of our turning points were just like, it was just I shared something where I finally, even if it was just for that 5 minutes, put my armor down and it was so freeing and the journey really started there and has gotten messier and harder but like way more rewarding. So much more rewarding.
Because now I'm like, I'm spending less time trying to be perfect, but just now my energy and like my resources, it's all aimed at being more authentic and more real and like putting down the mask and living with that mask off.
Because we need that.
We don't have that in today's world.
And it's, but it, and then still being challenged by the fact that so many people don't respond well to that. Right? They still expect perfect. They still struggle to hold space. They still struggle to, allow those human emotions because they don't allow it in themselves. So it actually, while you can find really amazing deep connection, I know for me, like, I still very much struggle with presenting a certain version of me outside of certain people. Do you know what I mean? Like, I still battle that. Like, I'm so authentic, but there's still a part of me that's super in control because I haven't quite got that worthiness piece down, I think, where it's like, I actually, I'm going to be 100% raw in myself, and that's amazing, and I don't, and take me as I am, and if you don't want to, if I, it's a saying on Instagram where it's like, if I'm too much, go find less. I don't know that any of us have really gotten to that piece yet either, right? It's still, you're like, I'm raw, I'm vulnerable, I want to get to that space where, I think specifically for me, it would be in romantic relationships where it's like, I allow my emotions to be as big as they are, or for me to be honest about how I'm feeling, or stand up for myself, set those boundaries, allow that, like, demand respect and be treated a certain way. You know, like, I think that's still, like, so much what I'm learning. So I don't want to sit here and have people think that like, oh, well, you two have it down. Like, it must be so nice for you guys to be fucking vulnerable. It's not. It's hard. It's hard work.
It's a process because we've been so conditioned to exist otherwise, you know? And so that's so deeply ingrained. And I'll, like, have these moments of, like, I always set intentions whenever I go to, like, social situations. So I'm like, okay, like, I'll be authentic. I'll be this. But as soon as I'm, like, in it, I'll literally be watching myself reverting back to old patterns of portraying like my best self and like trying to appear perfect, or like the things are all fine and dandy when they're not. But it's like, it's a process of, it's a practice of taking off the mask and learning to exist without it and feeling safe without the mask. But we've been conditioned to exist with the mask on, and we think that the mask is our real self. You know, we don't even know who we are without the mask. And so it's,
and we don't know if the people we're surrounding ourselves with are going to like us without the mask. We don't, you know, and I think we get more scared of that. So you're just like, well, I just won't take it off then. Because what if they don't like me and then I'm alone? Right? We're so afraid of rejection, which again, superhuman, that we're just like, it again, it's a subconscious reaction, right? It's just like, we're just terrified. We want so badly to be human and to just be messy and accepted and just, but we're so fucking terrified at the same time because we think we are so breakable. Mm. But when you have those honest conversations, those moments of connection, those vulnerable moments, things that would sting a little less, right? Mm. Because there's a conversation and you're authentic, right? Like, I feel like rejection hurts a lot more when you're just like, oh, you didn't even reject me.
Mm. You reject my mask, yeah, the projection of me.
You rejected the version of me I presented to you.
Yeah.
This is bullshit. Can I get a second chance? Yeah. Like, can I give the real me? And then you come out and you're just like, you got to go through that process. And I think we do it a bajillion times in life. It's like, who am I? Mm. Who am I really?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And it's always this process of figuring it out. But like you mentioned, like, it's removing that idea that you have to be a certain way, or if you feel things, you're going to manifest more things. And yeah, I just think it's messy. I just mm-hmm. think life is messy. And I think that's really beautiful. And I love other people's vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Mine, give or take. Take it or leave it. But I love it in other people. I'm just in awe of it. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's that saying, the whole you haven't read it yet, but it's in a Brené Brown book, who is my idol, being like, we think vulnerability in other people is courageous. Mm. We're amazed by it. But we think it vulnerability in ourselves is a weakness.
Ooh.
And I think that's really a very, at least I know for me, will likely be a lifelong process to realize that vulnerability in me is also courageous.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Because in me, I see it as a weakness, right?
Like when you're actually vulnerable. Because there's like there's like levels of vulnerability.
Yeah.
Vulnerability. There's like the vulnerability of like, you've said this vulnerable story so many times. So it's
it's no longer.
It's not like you're not identified with it. But then there's the vulnerability piece of like when you're in the trenches, mm-hmm. and you're admitting that you're in the trenches, mm-hmm. while still in the trenches.
Yeah. And I like to call that like removed piece. I call that controlled vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of times those stories to other people seem really vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
and you're just like, that's a walk in the park, man. That's nothing. We're over that. And people can think that that is, and I guess it's not vulnerable to them. It would be vulnerable, but to you, it's, you're just kind of like, it's my cheap vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, here's this cheap story for you that costs me nothing anymore. It cost me something years ago.
Yeah.
It no longer, there's no longer an admission to it.
Mm.
You can have it for free. But I find for myself, at least, I think the biggest vulnerability for me still is allowing people to witness my emotions.
Mm.
I'm like, let's be emotionless outside this world, and I'll only experience my emotions within the safety of my house.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, that's still, for me, where I'm learning to navigate my humanness.
Mm-hmm.
That, like,
when there's bigger, like, risk involved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is really just having anybody watch me have an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I like to still be in control of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I only mention that because I really don't want anyone to sit here and think, like, wow, you guys are, you have it down. Because the point of this is to tell you that we don't.
Yeah.
Like, is to just, like, we don't.
Yeah, no, we don't.
Like,
I'll like, oh my god, I'll like preach about vulnerability, but I'll literally still like go hide in my room every time I have an emotion come up, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I need to hide this. Like, this, it's like, that's like my automatic reaction of like, I can't let people see me like this. But it's
totally
like,
we just did it at a party actually, and stuff happened, and both of us immediately were like, let's go.
Let's just
leave. We should go now.
Yeah.
And like, that's actually such a prime thing. Instead of like sitting in the discomfort of what was going on, we're like, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Like, and
you want to go? Yeah, I want to go. Okay, let's go.
And it's totally fine. But like, now reflecting back on it, it's so funny that both of us were just like, yeah, let's leave.
Yeah.
And everyone else was like, I'm so impressed that you left. Like, good job. And both you and I are sitting there be like I would ever fucking let them see me cry. Like, go to hell. They're seeing it as a strength, and we're like, no, it's that you can't see this.
It was us running away.
Yeah. That's actually hilarious, because I definitely, that's what that was happening. That's so funny. Well, okay, so I think we should talk about how, like, this is a terribly awkward segue, but we're going to take it. I think we should talk about how we decided to start the podcast, because I think it's pretty cool that we were both kind of, you guys will learn as we talk in these episodes that we're obsessed with Lacey Phillips,
mm-hmm.
Who has the Expanded podcast, and they call, like, your intuition hits pings. And so you and I were texting, and we were just like, what if we just did, like, a full-on trust week of our... We just had to follow every ping we had. And we're like, okay, cool. And then we basically... The next day, we were, like, chatting about things and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm starting a podcast. Like, because that was the first thing that came up to me that morning while I was journaling. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, you...
And as soon as you texted that to me, I was like, I've literally been wanting to start a podcast since last year, but have been too, like, pussy to do it. I'm too scared. I was like, I don't want to do this alone, because as soon as I started looking more into it, I was like, holy, this is a lot of work, and I don't think I could talk for a full hour by myself. And so then that, like, I brushed that to the wayside. But then as soon as, like, you brought that up, and then, like, all these, like, floods of, like, memories of us just having, like, great conversations and how easy it was for us to just connect. And and then thinking about a podcast with you, I was like, that just feels right. And then my ping was like, be a co-host with her. Like, and so I texted you back. I was like, so if you ever need a co-host for this podcast, like, I'm here. Like, I want to do this. And then it kind of just, like, snowballed from there.
Totally.
And I remember, and, like, feeling.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it and just felt right.
And the name,
you know,
came so easily. Like, immediately the name was, like, we were both like, yes, that. For, like, literally the first time, like, we ever hung out one-on-one, you had come over to do, I forget what type of journeying it was.
Shamanic journeying.
Yeah. And, but, like, we legitimately had a, like, two-hour conversation beforehand, did the journey, and then probably had almost, like, a three-hour conversation afterwards. Yeah. And that was only our second conversation, I think,
ever. And then
ever.
I think, like, the next, or, like, the maybe, like, two times after, I came over here to get Reiki done.
Yeah.
And we literally sat and talked for, like, what, 4 or 5 hours?
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't even get to do Reiki. Because we were just, like,
we
on.
Just talk.
Yeah, we just
literally
talk.
Every time we talk, we're like, oh, we should have been recording. Because they just, like, naturally flow.
Mm-hmm.
It may not sound like it, team, but they do. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of where we're both just, like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, this is it for us.
We gotta do it.
So... This is it, fam.
So, are we enlightened yet?
Yeah. Is this it? We're going to drop episodes every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And with a whole variety of topics. Like,
probably everything under the sun.
Yeah, honestly. Whatever. I feel like it's going to end up being, like, whatever we want to talk about, we're going to talk about. And then you'll be privileged enough to listen to us.
Yep.
That's how this is going to go. So, if you want to write us a review... kind. If you're not going to be nice, get out of here. Subscribe.
But if you need to do that to have a human moment, write it in.
And
that'll be part of our journey.
Sure. Sure.
We embrace everything here. Positive, negative, it's all
welcome.
On
it. What is it, like, subscribe, leave us a review? Is that what people say at the end,
like,
of the podcast?
Like, subscribe. Share us with your friends.
Yeah. Give us grace as we begin this awkward journey.
Yeah, we're probably gonna have a lot of little awkward moments, especially the beginning, once, like, before we, like, get
totally
into the flow.
Yeah, so welcome on this journey with us. Mm-hmm. We will give you grace if you give us grace.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye, guys.